and you are the super soul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the supreme personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature both awakened. In the beginning, Vasudeva thought, such a beautiful child has been born, but now Kamsa will come and kill him. But when he understood that this was not an ordinary child, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. Regarding his son as the Supreme Lord, wonderful in everything, he began offering prayers appropriate for the Supreme Lord, completely free from fear of Kamsa's atrocities. He accepted the child simultaneously as an object of affection and as an object of worship by prayers. Vasudeva and Devaki, such exalted, unmotivated devotees of the Lord, for the sake of showing compassion to the human race, and for the sake of giving pleasure to Krishna, the Supreme Lord and only object of their true affection, they were willing to undergo such unimaginable forms of difficulties. One may ask that after that prophecy came from the sky that the eighth son of Vasudeva would be the cause of the death of Kamsa, that atrocious king and dictator. And after Kamsa imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki, for they had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And after they saw how each son, one after another, right before their eyes, was smashed against a rock by Kamsa until it was mercilessly slaughtered. Why did they continue to have children? You know, the body of an infant child, how frail and soft, how delicate every limb is. And yet Kamsa, he had the strength of 10,000 elephants. Kamsa was so powerful that he traveled throughout the universe and he challenged every demon. This is described in Garga Samhita. He went to each and every demon's abode and challenged them that if you cannot defeat me in battle, you must surrender and be my obedient servant to the day you die. And he was so powerful that with his strong arms, he absolutely defeated every one of the demons. Aghasura, Putana, Bhomasura, all the demons, until they were just at the verge of death. And when he's about to take their life from them, he made them make a vow that they would obediently serve him and give their life for him at all costs. Thus he became the king of all the demons in the universe. and he conquered even the demigods. Such a powerful person, so cruel. And yet, an innocent infant child, just born, who hasn't even hardly sucked the milk from his mother, he would, with all his strength, dash them against the rock until they were dead. Now, you know, a mother and father, how attached they are to their baby children. Generally, when a mother is in her maternity and the nurse or the midwives or the doctors are around, the husband is just pacing back and forth, worrying like anything. What will it be? Will it live? Will it be all right? Such an attachment is natural. And for the mother, when she sees that little child, it is the object of all of her affection. That is natural. And the first child, Kirtiman, was slaughtered before their eyes. Why did they have another child when they knew it would attain the same destiny? And then another, and another. Because they understood in their heart of hearts that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was going to appear as their eighth son. They understood that the Lord would destroy Kamsa and thus ultimately free all living entities from the pangs of persecution and injustice. So for the sake of bringing Krishna into the world, they were willing to endure prison, persecution, and the death of their own children. It was because they were willing to make such a sacrifice of their own interests for Krishna's pleasure that Krishna chose to appear within their lives. Krishna took birth from them because of this qualification. And similarly, when we are willing to make such a selfless sacrifice in our own way, for the pleasure of the Lord, Krishna will also take birth from our hearts, and he will appear in his most beautiful and wonderful divine form before us. It is explained here that when Krishna appeared, he didn't appear like an ordinary child. After 6 children were killed, we will discuss that on Sunday evening, the mystery of those 6 children. Then the 7th child was Lord Balaram, who we discussed last week on Balaramji's appearance day. Balaramji appeared within the womb of Devaki, and by the potency of Yoga Maya, he was transferred to the, he appeared in the womb of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini in Gokula, and thus he appeared. Just after Krishna appeared in Mathura. But when he appeared, he simply manifested himself from inside of the womb to the outside of the womb in his beautiful, majestic Vaikuntha form of Lord Narayan. He was wearing a beautiful golden helmet and loving flower garlands with beautiful buzzing bees swarming around it. He had the Vaidurya stone on a golden necklace. He was bedecked with all sorts of gold and jewelry, armlets, ankle bells. He had a beautiful dhoti that was dazzling, the color of lightning. He had shrivats marking his wondrous chest and his beautiful lotus eyes and transcendental smiling face glanced upon the forms of Vasudeva and Devaki. Bringing infinite light to the darkness of that prison at midnight. And the whole material nature, which is acting under Krishna's direction, began to rejoice and celebrate the appearance of the Lord. It is explained that generally the lotus flowers and other flowers, they bud during the daytime and they close at night. But although Krishna appeared at midnight, in the entire universe, every single flower of every origin began to blossom like it never blossomed before in the midnight hour. And although he appeared during the rainy season, it explained that at that time, all the weather became just like spring. Just not too hot, not too cold, fragrant, delightful, scented breezes. And it is explained that although Krishna appeared the eighth day of the moon, Ashtami, the moon appeared more full than it had ever been seen before. How is that? Because Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty, who the original king of the Yadu dynasty is Soma, the moon god. To celebrate this great occasion that the supreme personality of Godhead was appearing within his dynasty, Soma, he appeared miraculously in his full form just to give beautiful, benevolent rays of moonlight to celebrate the occasion of Krishna's appearance. And Vasudev, upon seeing this beautiful form of the Lord, it is explained here, he became fearless. Srila Prabhupada says, completely free from fear of Kamsa's atrocities, he accepted the child simultaneously as an object of affection as an object of worship by prayers. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhaka Yahan Krishna Tahan Maya Radhika. That where there is Krishna, there can be no darkness. Because Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like the darkness of night. Fear is the prevalent misery of this world. There are four basic human tendencies, which are also the tendencies of the lower species, the animals. Eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, defending. But of the four, defending is most prominent, because it is underlying all the others. It is the underlying misery that is all-pervading within this material existence. Practically, whatever we do is motivated by fear of one form or another in this world. Just like we are fearing that this microphone is not working properly. This material existence is endless, that beautiful. fact, there is a saying that you can tell where a person's heart is by where he puts his money. Where is most of the money put of every country in the world? Into defense, to building armies, building bombs. And there are so many big hospitals being built. They're built because we fear disease and pain. And most of the reason why people work today is not because they enjoy their work. They work because they fear that if they don't work, they will suffer from starvation, from no home, from social disgrace. And people, the prime motivating force of marriage is fear of loneliness. If you really go down to the essence of all we do in the material sense, fear is like an all-pervading underlying element. We fear pain. We fear dishonor. We fear failure. We fear growing old. We fear getting diseased. We fear, ultimately, death. But however much we fear, we know it is coming. It may be coming slowly. It may be coming quickly. None of us know. But one realization that material nature gives us is the older we get, the more we could feel that death is approaching quickly. And it is a great fear. How to overcome this fear? First, we must understand the nature of fear. This fear is based on illusion. Because ultimately, what is there to fear? There is no such thing as death. Because as far as the body is concerned, the body is just constituted by various material elements and chemicals. And science has discovered, and the Shastras also have explained, that matter cannot be destroyed. It is just transformed from one appearance to another. So your body is never dead. In one sense, it's always dead, because it has no consciousness. But the elements of the body are never destroyed, they're just changed. Every 7 years, it is said that all the cells of your bodies have changed. So that means you're constantly in the process of dying from that point of view of transformation. And the time of death, what happens to the cells and the chemicals of this body? If your body is buried, it just becomes transformed into earth. And if it's burnt, it's transformed into ashes. And it's fed to the vultures, it's transformed into...
Yes.
Vulture stool. Or jackal stool, depending on the circumstances. Fish stool.
Yes.
And as far as the soul, Krishna says in Gita, Najayate mriyate vhakadachin nayan bhutva bhavita vhanabhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. For the soul, there is neither birth or death, nor having once been, does it ever cease to be. The soul is birthless, deathless. It is primeval, immortal. It is not slain when the body is slain. It cannot be cut into pieces by any weapon. It cannot be withered by the wind. It cannot be burned by fire. It is transcendental. It cannot be destroyed. So what is death? When the eternal, immortal soul identifies this body to be the self, the inevitable transformation of the energy of this body is feared because we think that we are being lost. But actually, it's just material nature in action, and the soul is just observing it. What is there to fear? Nothing. But the illusion, janasya moho yamaham meti, that I am this body and I am this mind, and those things in relationship to this body and mind are mine, that illusion is the root cause of all fear. But Krishna, he is the light that dispels that illusion and dispels all fear, all suffering, all pain, and brings about an awakening of all auspiciousness. Just as Krishna took birth in the darkness of midnight in a prison cell during the rainy season, the most difficult time, in the difficultest place, but when he appeared, everything became full of light. The Brahmins, who were not allowed to perform any sacrifice for a matter of years because Kamsa would not allow it, they were in complete anxiety because they could do no seva for humanity due to Kamsa's atrocities. When Krishna appeared, their sacrificial fires lit and their hearts became peaceful. They didn't have to do anything separate. Simply Krishna's appearance makes everything auspicious. And similarly, it is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by the Srimad Bhagavat, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, that Krishna appeared in the Dwapar Yuga as the beautiful son of Devaki and Vasudev, Devaki Nandan, later Yashoda Nandan and Nanda Nandana. But in this Kali Yuga, the Lord appears within the sound vibration of his holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Sudha Nitya Mukta Bhinatvam Nama Namano. And in the holy name of Krishna, all the power and glory, all the opulences of Krishna are present. All of the beauty and the sweetness that Krishna revealed in his divine Leela is present within his name. All of the power and strength to protect the devotees is contained within his name. All of the wealth and fortune that Krishna manifested in Dwarka, in Vaikuntha, and beyond is within his name. All of the knowledge that Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita and in all the Vedic Shastras are fully contained within the sound of his name. All of the renunciation, all of the qualities of detachment from the sources of misery in this world are contained within the name of Krishna. Aishwaryasya samagrasya virayasya yashashriya jnana vairagya yoschaiva sanam bhaga itingana. And Krishna is appearing within his name. But why, when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we are not freed from all fear? We are not experiencing the sublime and divine awakening that Vasudev experienced. Vasudev explains in his lecture, or in his prayers to the Lord, that Krishna It is not really surprising that you have appeared in this jail cell, because actually you are everywhere. Someone may ask, how is it that God, the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the source of everything, appeared within the womb of a woman? But the fact is, he's in the womb of every woman. He's also within the every hair on your head. He's within every atom, and between every atom, Krishna is personally present. The expansion of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu as the Paramatma is everywhere. He's all-pervading, personally. So what is the difficult for Krishna? He's simply manifesting himself to our vision. But Krishna reveals himself only to those who have devotion. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daivahridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. For one whose eyes are decorated with the cosmetic of pure devotion, Krishna in his beautiful form of Shama Sundar can be seen, can be worshipped, and can be loved with all one's heart and all one's soul. But it is also said, Om apavitra pavitro vasra vavastam gatopi va yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantara suchi. Because whatever condition one may be in material conditioning, Krishna is so pure that he purifies us if we simply remember him. When we chant the holy name of the Lord attentively, in a mood of service and humility, we remember Krishna. And to the degree we are in that mood of service, to that degree we can remember Krishna with quality. And as we remember Krishna, gradually we become purified. Until that day will come when we can understand Rupa Goswami's sublime prayer, that I do not understand, I cannot fathom the supreme glory of the holy name of Krishna. When those two syllables, Krishna, when they dance upon my tongue, the sweetness is so unlimitedly satisfying and insatiable that I desire many, 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 many tongues to taste it. And when that name enters into the holes of my ears, I desire millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions. I desire infinite ears so I could just drink through oral reception the unlimited sweet taste of Krishna. And when that name enters into the courtyard of my heart, it conquers my mind and my senses. They become inert to any material desire. They spontaneously simply surrender at his lotus feet. Krishna has appeared within his name by his causeless divine mercy, just as he appeared within the prison cell of Kamsa. He is appearing within the now prison cell of our heart, because factually our heart is like a prison cell. The soul is eternally free and liberated, but our heart is imprisoned by the ahankar. In all directions, it is surrounded by the bars of ahankar, by the bars and the chains of lust, attachment, greed, pride, envy, and illusion. Our heart is like a prison house for the soul. But when we sincerely chant his holy name, he appears and he frees us frees us from the shackle of birth and death, gives light in the darkness of our lives, liberates us from all fear, and gives us the loving service of his devotees. So this Krishna consciousness movement is the movement which brings about the awakening of Krishna consciousness within our hearts. It gives us all the opportunity to be a part of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tattvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mameti sorujana. Krishna says that the nature of his appearance and activities in this world are transcendental. So let us allow Krishna to take birth within our own hearts, within our own minds, our own lives, by very, very carefully and strictly following the principles of Krishna consciousness, by making sacrifice for the benefit of others, by preaching Krishna consciousness, and by chanting his holy names. This is the perfection of human existence. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Loudly and sincerely chant his holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
These devotees like to chant Hare Krishna. Would you like to speak something? A few words?
On the Vrindavan platform, we don't want to come back to the material platform.
Ganjana Salakaye Chaksudan Miritam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakavitam Scha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinam Tesam Satitanam Bhajatam Pritipur Bakam Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam Yenamam Payanti Te.
When we were on a morning walk one time in Atlanta with Srila Prabhupada, he explained this verse, Tesam Satitanam Bhajatam Pritipur Bakam Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam Yenamam Payanti Te. He told me that you pray like this every day. He asked me if I will do that. And he said, Krishna will provide you the intelligence. So the intelligence we have seen so nice here, that the taste for Krishna, just listening to the kirtan and listening to all the devotees so sincerely pray, that Krishna is already present in everyone's heart. He's coming out. When we think about it, listening, it is like a snake charmer. These senses are like serpents, and they're biting, they're picking away, they're always trying to capture our attention away from the spiritual nature. But the potency of the holy name is like the snake charmer who simply controls the snake, these serpents, so it becomes no longer disturbance to anyone. So this Hare Krishna mantra is like killing this snake, these serpents of the senses that we've misused and guided us down the wrong path for so many millions and millions of births. And now we're getting that taste. One little, how is it that every night, every day, one can simply chant Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How is it that one can chant japa? How is it that one can chant kirtan and simply keep doing it day after day, year after year, month after month? 10 years go by, 20 years go by. People on the outside must wonder, what are these people? They must be madmen. But actually speaking, the more one chants, the more one actually tastes the bliss. If we're serious, we get a little fraction of a taste, a little bit of inkling of what the spiritual world is through the eyes of the holy name. And when it's simply a little bit of shimmering on the surface, that we can see that the anartha has become cleared and that we actually can gain appreciation for the Supreme Lord and his multifarious incarnations and devotees. So Prabhupada has been so kind to all of us. He's been so kind that none of us, at least in this birth, had ever knew anything about the holy name. Even born here in India, where Krishna is on every street corner, the name Krishna on the buildings everywhere, hardly anyone knew the nectar that is found in the holy name, the bliss that is there in actually serving God. So Srila Prabhupada has been so kind to us that taking up the order of his spiritual master, he has taken this holy name all over the world simply to mitigate the sufferings of all living entities. So we should be very, very thankful that his sacrifice that he took. He had no facility, and he went to America with 40 rupees, which is nothing, on a very difficult cruise ship, not a cruise ship, but a steamship. And he landed in a country not knowing anyone. And from there, in 10 short years, hundreds of temples, millions of devotees now all over the world, all the continents are chanting. So this is the potency of the devotee who has serially surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is everyone's birthright. You are all Prabhupada Nugas, as we are also Rupa Nugas, that we're all coming in this cyclic succession, coming from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And so whether you are His Shisha, or whether He is your Param Guru, that the opportunity to hear and chant and spread this holy name, Prabhupada wanted to fulfill the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that in every town, in every village throughout the whole world, the holy names of Hare Krishna, of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be sung. And practically speaking, he inaugurated that mission. The desire was for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then on that same day he predicted that's a great personality will appear, and so we saw Srila Prabhupada did appear, and he helped spread this, and it's touched all of our lives. So the only way we can pay back that is to serve very, very dearly the instruction of the spiritual master. So you have to take very sincerely these words that are coming from the great sadhus, as Radhanath Maharaj, who is only speaking what Prabhupada is instructed. And we have to be serious enough to take Prabhupada's instruction into heart and try our very best somehow or other to help the suffering humanity by giving them the taste, giving them the opportunity to hear and chant, giving them the opportunity to associate with Krishna. And that's the nature of the devotee, that he's willing to sacrifice everything to please the Lord. And in pleasing the Lord, what pleases the Lord the most is to give his instructions and give his blessings to all of his fallen souls who are simply lost in this material world, suffering birth after birth and millenniums after millennium unnecessarily in this material world. So in this way, if we be serious, that we not only chant this Hare Krishna mantra for our own benefit, but that we chant also in hopes that somehow we can become empowered to spread this chanting all over the world, into everyone we meet, in every corner, and therefore get the blessings of these spiritual masters in our line, and to actually have the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Ya. Ya.
Ya. Ya.